Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Mike. I'm an addict.
Hey, Mike.
Fucking Mike. Keep holding.
Could we please have a moment of silence followed by a swing,
friend? You try.
God,
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
So, social media statement says that the widespread use of social media networking and social media by our fellowship indicates that these forums are resources that can serve to facilitate greater communication and interaction among Narcotics Anonymous members. With that being said, some of our members may want to be depicted in photos on social media platforms. Please be mindful of this and get permission from members if you intend to post their photos on any type of social media. The press media announcement statement to members regarding the press. As our 11th tradition says, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. The primary purpose of our public relations efforts is to tell the story of Narcotics Anonymous and what our program offers to the still suffering addict. Members of the press are sometimes attracted to our convention, and we will welcome their interest. However, we do not disclose our last names in the media as identifiable members of Narcotics Anonymous. If a member of the press approaches you, please direct them to the chair, Steve D., or the vice chair, Nick, of the convention. If any members of the media Could someone please read a clarity statement?
All right, name Dennis.
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 At any meetings, we introduce ourselves as addicts. When members introduce themselves as addicts and alcoholics or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, and somehow one drug is separate from the rest, requiring special recognition. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive in reference to disease of addiction, allowing us to focus on the similarities and not the differences.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dennis. We have who's an addict?
I'm Greg, I'm an addict.
Greg.
Who is an addict? Most of us don't have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same, jails, institutions, and deaths.
Oh, thanks, Greg.
Thank you. Can we have who? Why are we here?
I'm an addict, Ms. Bush.
Hey, Bush.
Bush. And why are we here? Before coming to the Fellowship of NA, we cannot manage our own lives. We cannot live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different than we thought we had found in the drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail and sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced, but continued to progress until in desperation we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is impossible.
Thanks, Butch.
Thanks, Butch. Time to introduce the speaker. I want to give you Aaron J. from the Tuesday Night Bathing Group.
Thanks. I'm an addict. My name's Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
Um,
Well, I'll thank the committee for asking me to speak first, and I've always had like a deep respect for what this particular convention does, putting books in prisons and jails. I hope they continue to do that, because there's nothing more important than literature in addicts' hands. It's just how I feel. My clean date's July 24th, 2012. And I hate sharing on topics. So we'll just start there. I have opinions. and I and I've never really been afraid to share those. But that's not what we do, and that's not what this is about. So I will try my best to keep those to myself, and I will try to just share my experience with the topic. And I still have this disease, obviously, so I regularly thought that you don't have anything to share about this topic. But I've also been here long enough and have worked on myself to know that that's a lie. And I'm grateful for that, because there was a time where I wouldn't have known that was a lie. I would have believed it. So yeah, I'll just try to share my experience. I like crash landed in Narcotics Anonymous. I did three treatment centers in jail in the summer of 2012. So four facilities in like a 3.5 month stint. I'd never heard of this. I knew of AA from movies and TV. Never heard about Narcotics Anonymous. So I was in all these treatment centers, and you hear all kinds of shit. And so when I first got here, I got a sponsor right away, and then I was going to a bunch of meetings. And I would introduce myself as an addict, and I told myself it was because I don't want to forget that I also have this other problem. And I don't think that was total bullshit. I think I just didn't know any better, so that's what I was telling myself. I also have a tendency to want to be a little different than everybody else, so I'm sure that was part of it too. And my sponsor quickly told me that the "and" anything after the "addict" part is not necessary. That this disease encompasses all of that. And that made sense to me when he said it, and it makes even more sense now. The longer I've stayed and the more things that I've seen myself become obsessed with. Because there's no difference. I was locked and loaded on coming here talking about our language, how we talk, the first tradition, unity. And I like sent a text to my sponsor. I was like, "Hey, just so I don't make an ass of myself, this is what this topic's about, right?" And he called, thank God. And he said, "Yeah, it is about those things." But then he brought up how it's like what I was just mentioning, like this all-encompassing disease that we have. And I was like, "All right, I'm really glad you said that, because I didn't think of it. I have this one problem that manifest itself in thousands of ways. And luckily, I have this one solution that I've been able to apply to all of those problems since I've been here. I personally, and I'll just me, I have yet to find a problem that you guys haven't been able to help me with. I've had issues since being here with food. I've had issues since being here with women. I've had issues since being here with dating apps. I know I have issues with gambling, so I haven't even messed with it since I've been clean. But I'm not confused, and haven't been confused for a very long time, that those are separate issues. They're all one thing. It's all obsession and compulsion. and I have one program that can help me solve that. And every time I've applied this program to those problems, I have gotten freedom from them. And every time I've resisted applying this program to those problems, I've gotten a lot of pain and a lot of suffering here. Because I resisted for a long time because I had no problem accepting that I can't get high successfully. The evidence was very evident. I did have a very serious problem with accepting the fact that I can't download an app on my phone and act like a normal human and go to sleep before 1 in the morning or 3 in the morning or and have to be up at 6 a.m. And if you don't know what I'm talking about on that particular issue, don't look into it. I truly believe that this program can help me solve any problem I have, and it has helped me do that to this point. And it's always the steps. It has always been like, first thing I need to do is like admit and stop. And then I need to get humble and start telling a bunch of people about it, in particular my sponsor. And I need to get intimate with a couple of men, and even at this point, my recovery women, and just be honest. This is how I'm living. This is how I'm living, the part that I hide, the part that I lay at home at night and think about and obsess about and am ashamed of, and the behaviors that I don't want you guys to know about. And when I tell you that, the truth, what I'm doing, I've always gotten freedom. And I'm not one of those people who says, and I've never been judged, because I judge the shit out of people, and I don't believe that you all aren't judging me, but I've never for one second ever felt like I couldn't tell you. And I hope that I've never once made anybody feel like they couldn't tell me. Like I said, I thought about a lot of other stuff before I talked to my sponsor. I thought about our first tradition and the unity of this program. And another experience I had, we went to New Orleans, my sponsor and me, at one point, and we went to... I hope you can go. Because I don't got much. So... we went to this convention or retreat in Monroe, Louisiana. And I think I had like 4 years clean at the time. And we drove down there, and then we were going to New Orleans after. And it was this camp out with these people. And so some people believe that I'm rigid and my sponsor's rigid and his sponsor's rigid. And these people were rigid. But it was cool, and so the whole thing, like every convention, I guess, and retreat has a theme. So the theme of that convention was our language, like the language of NA and the phrases and cliches and all the things we use. And I remember being blown away when I found out that one day at a time is nowhere in NA literature.
Just for today.
It's just for today, and I was like sitting there like, I probably hear one day at a time in every NA meeting I'm in particular in this region. And I know why. I'm not ignorant to why it's very strong in this region. I'm not ignorant to the history of Narcotics Anonymous. I've been taught some things since I've been here. We have deep roots, and this is an old region, and a lot of our older members had AA sponsors and had to go to AA meetings. And that's not, there are still parts of the country that are like that now, where you get two NA meetings and the rest is AA. I got a friend that lives in Virginia, and he has to go to some of those. And what I was taught early on was that if you do, you respect the house you're in, and you don't share. And so that's what I do. I don't have any experience with their fellowship, just like they don't have any with mine and ours. And this notion that, like, it's all the same. I hear it all the time. It's all the same. If it was the same, there wouldn't be two of them. and there wouldn't be 20 other ones, and it's not the same. Our primary purpose is different. Our language is different. They're different. And our first tradition uses some pretty strong language that talks about like how we could lose this thing if we don't take that seriously. And I used to take it a little too seriously. To the point where like some words when used in meetings used to make my skin crawl. And I get taught lessons in funny ways here. And we had a home group. My home group for like 7 or 8 years was a really small meeting in Pittsburgh. We would get like 5 or 6 people, and there was a long stretch where the only people we were getting other than home group members were people from AA. And they were not taught, you respect the house you're in and you use the language of the house you're in, and it used to make my skin crawl. Until somebody explained to me that there's a reason these people keep coming here when they don't have to. There's an attraction to this meeting and what we're doing that has these people coming here weekly. And when it was explained to me like that, I thought that was so fucking cool. That was so cool that these people who were not like newcomers going all over the place, that they were people who accidentally stumbled into our home group one night, sat down because they were a little bit late, stayed through the whole meeting, and got something from it. And I don't know if it opened their eyes to something maybe or whatever. I hear stories all the time of people who were in one fellowship and spent 8 years there and then showed up here one day and, you know, they found their home 8 years later or 10 years later and have stayed ever since. And I got chills talking about it, and I don't usually get that way. That was cool. It was the attraction part of what we do, you know. And So I got humbled again with that one, and certain words don't bother me the way they used to bother me. But in the same token, I do believe it's extremely important, the language that I use, because I know better. And so I try my best to sit in meetings and carry a clear, concise, Narcotics Anonymous message. Because it does matter. If it didn't matter, the literature wouldn't talk about things like we could lose this whole thing. It just wouldn't. I don't believe they're the same. I also thought about commitment. It's not something I've ever been great at prior to getting here. I'm good at it now because of a lot of practice, but I was just taught to pick one. Pick a fellowship, man. And commit to it. And take part in and be part of and serve it. And how important that is. It matters. It matters. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm bouncing around from different places to different places, I never really have to get intimate. I never really have to meet anybody. I can kind of just be like... Everything can be superficial and nothing ever has to get real. But if I'm locked in with a group of people for a long stretch of time, eventually you can only be so superficial, you know? So yeah, man, I was taught, like, pick one. One home group, not four. One sponsor, not three across three fellowships. Commitment. Just commitment. One vote. I don't even know if people were taught this. And the other thing I thought of was how important sponsorship is. Because I can't sit there, I could, like a maniac, and I could correct every person who shares something I don't agree with in a meeting or shares some unclear message or whatever. I could do that, but I would owe a lot of amends by the end of it, and I would have zero serenity. So I teach the guys I sponsor this stuff.
And my sponsor taught me. And his sponsor taught him. And it's all right to correct people. I've also learned that most people are open to hearing it. Not most. So, not most. Some are open. But they're also, I got a better chance of delivering the message if I don't come across like an asshole. Because for a long time, I couldn't help but come across like a total asshole. I just couldn't. I would get myself so worked up for this uncomfortable conversation, like we do, that I was the one being aggressive about something that isn't that big a deal, but it is, right? But I made it a bigger deal in my head than what it had to be. Most people just don't know because they're not being taught. They don't have a sponsor who's telling them, hey, you're not three things when you introduce yourself. You're this one thing that encompasses all of it. Okay. Yeah, I don't know, man. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I'm all in on NA. That's the other thing I thought of was serving Narcotics Anonymous. I was with a dude the other night who was talking, and he was talking about how he doesn't know his purpose in life. He's like, I'm still trying to find my purpose. I'm still trying. And I believe him. I wasn't sitting there like judging him or whatever, but I did have the thought of, I'm so grateful that years ago now, I realized my purpose in life is to serve here and to help other people find this thing. That's it. And I can do a lot of other things, but like my primary purpose is to serve here and help addicts. And it's not to help them stay here, because I used to think that was my purpose, like help them stay here, whatever. Just planting seeds, man. Because then I think about how before I got here, I'd never heard of this thing, and I never knew about it, and none of you could force me to stay here. But when I was ready, I knew where to go, and I came here, and I've stayed. And so I, well, never mind. That's it. Thanks. Thanks for sharing. Nah, that's all I got. Yeah, you got 15.
John L.
I'm John, I'm an addict.
Hi, John.
I was like, yeah, I'll get somebody up next to me. They're going to have multiple decades, and I'll pick up a little this and a little that. My clean date's July 18th, 2012. Oh, boy. I don't like topics either because I like to just come in and start sharing where I'm at or what I'm doing at the time. But, you know, the committee made some rules, and now I have to follow them because that's what they taught me to do, follow the rules. Mm. And I don't like to follow the rules. Narcotics Anonymous told me, you know, I have to follow the rules if I want to do what I want to do and not get in trouble. I didn't get a nudge from the judge when I got here. I didn't hit a rock bottom and say, I need help. I had a wife that I thought was like out of the blue, just said, hey, we're going to go get a drug test. And I'm like, for what? Right? And then we go to the CVS. Like, I'm like all happy. Okay, let's go. You know, what are we doing? And she picks up the most expensive drug test and says, here, buy that. I'm like, what the fuck? And she said, you need to take that. And I'm like, I don't understand. And so she went in the bathroom with me, right? Because she didn't trust me enough to hold it myself. And the whole time she was screwing the lid on that thing, I was like, oh my God, it's going to blow a hole through the roof. And the other thought was, phew, it's finally over. Somebody finally knew. I still didn't give up at that point. Like, I wasn't ready to give up. And so she rode me around Richmond for like 3 hours in the car. So I hadn't used in 3 hours. And I was sweating. And what happened in the car ride was I got some consequences. The consequences were, you need to tell me what's going on or you're not coming home. And I was like, oh. So, of course, I didn't tell her all of it, but I told her enough to make, you know, to satisfy her need of what she wanted to hear. I'm good at doing that, telling people what they want to hear. So I get back home, and I'm on the computer. I knew nothing about Narcotics Anonymous. AA, you know, my grandmother and my grandfather are on both sides of the family. I had one grandparent that lived on a sewer grate for 35 years. So I knew what AA was all about. And I wasn't going to be that guy. Right? So drinking was not my problem. So I'm punching in the computer, and the first thing I see is a Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm like, I wonder what that is. So I started reading on it a little bit, and I was like, you know what? I could probably go to that. But I'm going to go as far across town as I can get because I don't want to run into anybody I know. And before I knew what a higher power was, it was already testing me, because when I got there, I heard this voice come out of the room, and it said, well, hello, John. It's about time you got here. And I'm like, duh. And it was my dear friend Brenda who had passed. I saw Brenda twice a week. That's where I dropped my dog off to get groomed, you know. And God put her there for me. And so I continued to go, but I really wasn't sold. I'm that show me guy. Show me how this program works, and I'll think about if I'm going to stay. And so what had happened was, 6 months into this thing, right, I'm going to meetings every day. My wife's asked me who I'm sleeping with because I'm going to so many meetings. Why do you have to go every day? I'm like, you made me pee in the cup. Now I'm doing what they're telling me to do. You know? So, you started, I'm trying to finish it, and now I'm getting shit over it, right? So, but that's not what made me stay, because, you know, I was going to meetings for 6 months. I had a sponsor, didn't call him. But I wanted to go home and say, I have a sponsor. I went to a few meetings and I got some of those free pamphlets, you know, the free ones, in the rack. It's a nice rack, and I got them. And I put them in the glove box, and sometimes I would just go to the meeting, sit in the parking lot, and when I get home, I'd throw a couple pamphlets on the table, right? And she'd go, how was the meeting? And I was like, it was good. What was it about? Can't tell you. It's anonymous. I was working my way out of here as fast as I could, because I thought if I came in and cleaned up and learned a little bit about what was going on, that I could use successfully, really. I've been using for 38 years. I know how to do it. I just didn't know how to do it and not get caught. So I figured, what better place to go to learn from people that, you know how to use? It's 6 months clean. I get home from a meeting one night, and I'll never forget it. It was a Tuesday. My daughter was waiting for me at the door. She was 12 when I got clean. And she said, Dad, we need to talk. I'm like, oh, fuck. I said, okay, about what? She goes, about those drugs you were taking. I'm like, oh, shit. And so she said, let's sit down on the couch. And I swear to God, I was like an out-of-body experience watching that situation go down. Because I was nervous. Because I was afraid she was going to ask me some questions that I had to give her an answer to. And she said, did you know those drugs that you were using would kill you? And I said, yes. First time being honest with anybody. And she was 12. And she said, and you used them anyway? And I said, yes. And she said, do you think you'll be alive to give me away when I get married? this is the girl that I said I love more than anything on the planet. Right? Blonde hair, blue eyes. Couldn't ask for better. Yet I drove her around fucked up. And her sisters and her brothers. And something happened that day. We're going to call it a spiritual awakening. And I made a promise to her that I wasn't sure I could keep. But I made it anyway, and I said, I will do the best that I can. And I started participating in Narcotics Anonymous. So I called my sponsor the next day. And I told him what had happened, and he said, well, freedom's in steps. And I'm like, I don't want to do steps. I wanted to manipulate y'all to do my steps. Because I was a manipulator. I wanted to go in and find somebody that I could pinpoint to manipulate them to do the steps for me. Like I did in high school, right? Because I had that one girl that really, really liked me, and I manipulated her to do my homework. She passed high school twice. Mine and hers. About a week later, I picked up a step working guide, and I was like, well, let's just take a look. And I started reading the questions, and I was like, oh, my God, they're talking about me. And I started putting pencil to paper, and I started writing some stuff that I would never thought I would say about myself, but I wasn't telling anybody yet. I just put it on paper, and I started going over stuff with my sponsor, and I started reading the literature, and in the literature it says, you know, we have to change, and we have to change everything. Change I must or die I will. It's in the book. So I started giving this thing a shot, a real chance. Like, more than anything I've ever done other than my job, you know, I started giving this thing a real chance. And next thing you know, there was people coming up to me going, man, we've seen some real growth come out of you. And I'm like, oh, what had happened was I started working this program, right? I started listening to the predecessors because they said that, you know, they went through some hard-won experiences that I didn't have to go through. You know, I'm lazy, so I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to ask them what they did. But it tells us to. It says, you know, our predecessors went through some hard-won experiences, so I don't have to go through and make all those mistakes. Something happened, and I get to step 12, and it asked me a question. And I had to make a decision. You know, it says, after having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And my first thought was, am I going to do that? Am I actually going to carry the message to somebody else? Because, you know, I'm stingy. I got it. I'm going to hold on to it. I don't know if I want to give it away. Or even if I want to stay. So now I have to make a choice. Am I going to give it away? Am I going to stay? Am I going to continue to go to meetings? Am I going to continue to do the stuff that I do? Go to my home group? Am I going to do that stuff? And I thought about that day. My daughter had me in the living room, and I was like, okay, so we're staying. And I've been here ever since. You know? 3,976 days today. Like in a row without using. And I haven't physically harmed anybody per se. I didn't do that until just a few weeks ago when I grabbed the dentist by the throat. She was causing me pain, and I told her to stop, and she did not. And I grabbed her by the throat, and I explained it to her, like, right here. And I put her back. And I waited for the police to come. They did not. Call my sponsor. And I said, this is the dumbass thing I just did. So if you don't think you can do some dumb shit in recovery after being here a while, just wait. But I made some amends. I called her the next day and apologized for my actions, not hers. I'm responsible for the effort, not the outcome. And I have to look after me, right? I have to make sure my conscience is clean. Like, when I go to bed at night, I got to ask myself some questions. Did I do all I could do for my recovery today? Matter of fact, what did I do for my recovery today? You know? And I have to sit back and think, did I harm anybody on purpose or by accident? Because I can harm people by accident too. And if I did or if I didn't, you know, I always have tomorrow to make some amends. I try to work this to the best of my ability. I try to put my sponsees in a place where they can learn to the best of their ability. I hate it when they don't take suggestions. I call it being voluntold, and they still don't listen. Not my problem. I know when to step out and let them experience their own pain. So, look. All I know is this is the only thing that ever kept me clean for more than a week. And I used to take it for granted. And now I just take it one day at a time. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Hey, let me see something. We have a few minutes. Actually, we got a little bit more than a few minutes.
You want me to go again?
But I would just like to say, I'd like, if anybody has anything that they would like to share about what they shared to them, I'll leave it open for a little bit. Just be mindful of your time.
I'm heading over there.
Hey, Ed.
Ahead.
I gotta go up front.
Go
up
the
other you don't have to go up front. I have to own this shit? Thank you. I was in a group once where a guy meant to say that he was an introvert, but he said controvert. And I said, I like that. You say black, I say white. And I'm trying not to be in a controvert kind of mood. And I'm back around. I'm like, I have to pick up a 30-day thing, but I don't think any of my experience has been erased. And I experienced the 90s when our fellowship in Southeast Mattarin, in particular, I got stuff for YouTube, but I don't have enough time. No, thank you both. And it was a period of time, and I want to say in a non-controversial way, I always go back to this being a program of attraction and not promotion. Because what was going around at that time, I almost got my ass kicked at a business meeting. Because this was before we started the Declare home groups. We were a little loose. It wasn't like you didn't ask people their majors. Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't ask people their majors like we do now. What's your home group, right? And I know how that came about, because people would dope fiend and they would go to business meetings and try and swing them. In this particular business meeting, they required for speaking and chairing at the meeting 60 and 90 days and a commitment to NA. And I commented from the floor, commitment smacks of institutions to me, and a guy wanted to kick my ass. I owe a great debt of gratitude to Alan, who's still between me and him, because I'm a little puny to run. I can't run as fast anymore. And
excuse me, we're not giving a lead. That was not my intent. My intent was to share with them what they shared. That's all. Okay.
My intent is to share my experience and how it harmonizes with what I heard the man say.
Okay.
As another eye.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
So I was given the same words so really, and things like that to unearth the more fundamentalists, because again, I believe this is a program of attraction and not promotion, and the worst thing that I can do to a newcomer is tell them how to talk. Right? Allow them to come here and feel comfortable and wanted. And I was taken to tears. Thank you. I have to have an immense talk with my daughter, who asked me not to come around for the grandkids because I was smoking weed. It was actually much worse than that. But I don't think I'll go into those details, because I do use a sponsor occasionally. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm recovering addict. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm recovering addict named Clayton.
Hi, Clayton.
Clayton.
And I kind of like what you said, John, right? Mm-hmm. I kind of like what you said when you said just the only thing that made you stop, because we have rules here, right? And I'm one of them guys, man, that like never like to follow the rules, in and out of jail and everything like this here. And, I came to a spot this time around, man, and I don't know, man, like, I just got so tired, man, of, like, bending the rules, man, because every time I try to cut corners, man, something always happens, man, something always happens, like,
welcome.
And God, like, really, really blessed me on this one, man, so, like, I don't know, man, I just, like, really, really bought into it this time, man, like, I only got 10 days coming, man, and, I feel wonderful, man, because, like, I have that peace within, man, and I can see light at the end of the tunnel, man. And like you say, if I follow the rules here, man, great things happen. Thanks for loving me.
Thanks, man.
Well, thank you, Corey.
Corey, recovering addict.
Hi, Corey.
Hey, Alan. Thanks for sharing about the all-inclusiveness, because I too, you know, one disease. Like I was before I found my way into narcotics and cannabis. I did at the AA, then I did both, and I'm across, you know. Share, and I like how you said it, you know, respect the house. And I couldn't talk about the substance. I had to keep it in the bottle. Like they had, you know, I wasn't feel welcome. And when I got here, that it was all inclusive, and I can apply this program to any manifestation of my life. I liked how you honed in on that. And I too can get rigid. When, you know, learning this thing, appreciating it, and loving what it does for my life and other addicts. I like how you talked about, you opened up with our primary purpose and the theme of this convention, and how this is to put the literature into the hands of, you know, addicts that are institutionalized. You know, and just being, learning not to be so rigid when, practicing empathy when I hear other people come in and not know any better, because at once I would say clean and sober, I would say I'm an alcoholic and an addict, right? And now, and then it would get under my skin after having practiced that, because now I know better, and now I want to beat other people up. But I like how you said, you know, you talked about one disease, one program, you know, even after adapting it from, like, it's all with the clarity statement, I think that kind of encompasses all. That's it. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
There's nothing else. Could we have just our We Do Recover? I'm a sphincter named Ed, and I'm an addict.
Yeah.
We Do Recover. We went at the end of the road. We find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs. We all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, and death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, the simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks, Ed.
We have the third step statement.
Sure. Can we have a moment of silence for the addicts that are still suffering inside these rooms, followed by the third step prayer? Many of us have said,
Take my will and my life. God is my recovery. Show me how to live.
Thanks, everybody. I apologize for being late.